the writer of the words. Top right, William Bradbury is the writer of the music. And those are how those names are arranged. Our hymn that we're going to study today is called Just As I Am. And this is what is called an invitation hymn. And I'd like to read for you the hymn history of this song, Just As I Am, and how it came about to be written by Charlotte Elliott and the music by William Bradbury. And I have two books I want to read out of. This first one is called 101 Hymn Histories by Kenneth Osbecht, and it's Just As I Am. Without question, this hymn has touched more hearts and influenced more people for Christ than any other song ever written. The text was born within the soul of an invalid woman. Now, they use the word invalid in these books. We use the word handicap nowadays. Who wrote these words out of intense feelings of uselessness and despair. Charlotte Elliott was born in Clapham, England on March 18, 1789. As a young person, she lived a carefree life, gaining popularity as a portrait artist and writer of humorous verse. By the time she was 30, however, her health began to fail rapidly, and soon she became a bedridden invalid for the remaining years of her life. With her health failing came great feelings of despondency. In 1822, a noted Swiss evangelist, Dr. Caesar Millan, visited the Elliott home in Brighton, England. His visit proved to be a turning point in Charlotte's life. In counseling Miss Elliott about her spiritual and emotional problems, Dr. Millan impressed upon her this truth: "You must come just as you are, a sinner, to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Throughout the remainder of her life, Miss Elliott celebrated every year the day on which her Swiss friend had led her to a spiritual, personal relationship with Christ, for she considered that day her spiritual birthday. Although she did not write her text for this song until 1836, to be 16 years later from her salvation experience, it is apparent that she never forgot the words of her friend, for they form the very essence of this hymn. Though Charlotte Elliott lived to be 82 years of age, so that's 52 years as an invalid or one handicapped, she never regained her health. And she often endured seasons of great physical suffering. Of her own affliction, she once wrote, "He knows, and he alone, what it is, day after day, hour after hour, to fight against bodily feelings of almost overpowering weakness, languor, and exhaustion, to resolve not to yield to slothfulness, depression, and instability, such as the body causes me to long to indulge, but to rise every morning determined to take for my motto, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Another time she wrote, "God sees, God guides, God guards me. His grace surrounds me, and his voice continually bids me to be happy and holy in his service, just where I am." Miss Elliott wrote the text for Just As I Am in 1836. It was published the same year in the second edition of the Invalid's Hymn Book, a collection which contained 115 of her original works. She wrote this hymn with the desire that it might aid financially in building a school for the children of poor clergymen that her own pastor brother was trying to build in Brighton, England. Miss Elliot felt so hopeless in her desire to aid the parishioners in this worthy project. Interestingly enough, this one hymn from the pen of the clergyman's invalid sister brought in more funds than all of his bazaars and projects combined. The brother himself has left these words: in the course of a long ministry, I hope to have been permitted to see some fruit of my labors, but I feel more has been done by a single hymn of my sister's. In all, Charlotte Elliott wrote approximately 150 hymns. She is generally regarded as one of the finest of all English women hymn writers. It is said that after her death, more than 1,000 letters were found among her papers from individuals around the world expressing testimonies of what this one hymn had meant in their lives. The music for this hymn was written by William Bradbury. William Bradbury has also written the music for hymns like He Leadeth Me, Jesus Loves Me, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and The Solid Rock. Only eternity will reveal the vast number of individuals whose lives have been dramatically changed through the use of this one hymn from the pen of an invalid woman. It is a hymn that can and should be used more frequently than merely an invitation number at the close of a service. Its message is one that we as believers need to be reminded of frequently, that our eternal standing in peace with God depends solely on Christ's merits and not on our own. So there's the story from 101 Hymns by Kenneth Osbeck. I have another book by Henry Garapi, and this one is called Songs in the Night. Songs in the Night. The writer Job said that God giveth us songs in the night. And this has a little bit of a different take on the same hymn. You'll hear some things that are very similar. But this one's called Just As I Am. And underneath it, subtitle, it says this: The World's Greatest Soul-Winning Hymn. The World's Greatest Soul-Winning Hymn. The hymn Just As I Am has been called the world's greatest soul-winning hymn, influencing more people to Christ than any other song written. D.L. Moody said that this hymn drew as many people to the Lord in his fruitful evangelistic meetings as any sermons he had ever preached. As a young man, Billy Graham walked to the altar to accept Christ while Just As I Am was being sung. Since then, in all of his crusades on every continent, he has used this song as the invitation hymn, with hundreds and thousands coming to Christ as it has been sung. Charlotte Elliott was born in England in 1789. After living a carefree life, she became a bedridden invalid by her early 30s and sank into despondency and rebellion against God. Her father invited as a guest to their home a noted minister and musician, praying that he might help mellow the soul of his talented but rebellious daughter. Following one of her emotional outbursts at the dinner table, the minister, sensing her spiritual distress, said, "You are tired of yourself, aren't you? You are holding on to your hate and anger and have become sour. Bitter, and resentful." In response to this diagnosis of her heart, she unburdened herself, releasing pent-up feelings and struggles of many years. She then asked how she could know the peace and joy of Christ. Her minister friend counseled, "You must come just as you are, a sinner, to the Lamb of God, with your fightings, fears, hates, quick temper, and pride, and he will give you his great love in their place." She trusted fully in Christ and found inner peace and joy despite a physical affliction that lasted until her death at the age of 82. Each year thereafter, she celebrated as her spiritual birthday that day when she was led from despair to faith in Christ. The timeless truth of that discovery had burned itself into her soul, and in 1836, 14 years after her conversion experience, she penned her spiritual autobiography in the stanzas of this enduring hymn. After her death, more than 1,000 letters were found among her papers expressing gratitude for the help of this hymn. God used an invalid to bless the world through this song. Only eternity will reveal the countless number of souls who have found Christ through this great hymn. The reason for the great success of this hymn is that it speaks one of the most fundamental truths for every life. We must come to Christ just as we are, with all our conflicts, doubts, fears, and failures, and he will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. May we in our heart of hearts find the peace and joy that comes when we pray, just as I am, O Lord, Lamb of God, I come. You know, as I read that, I think God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. If we would maybe do a little less complaining in our infirmities and in our afflictions and find out what it is God wants to do through us, through these problems and trials and afflictions and adversity. And if we would say, Lord, what do you want to do? You know, the Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. And some of us in this room today have all kinds of adversities and afflictions and trials and tribulations and physical ailments that may never go away, emotional struggles, marriage, whatever. And if we would just seek for a deeper reason, maybe God would do something powerful and something eternal through us that could affect maybe not thousands of lives, but maybe hundreds, maybe dozens. And she got saved. After a carefree life and after she became a handicapped lady who would spend 52 years there in that handicap. But you know, I just got a feeling that if you talk to Charlotte Elliott in heaven today, she would not want it any other way than the way God planned it for her life. And God does give us songs in the night. And God gives us strength and power. In our weakness, he is made strong. And in our infirmities, the power of God rests upon us and works through us. And so I want to encourage us all today to check our attitudes about what we're going through and ask ourselves, have we let any kind of bitterness creep into our hearts towards the Lord? And may we obey the admonition of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 31, where we put all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you in all malice. And just put it out of our lives. And I think something beautiful can come out of our lives, too. Maybe you've had a hard family life. Maybe as a child or teen growing up, it was difficult for you. I believe the things God allows us to go through are preparatory. They are in his long plan for our lives. God is a God who is thinking about us 10 years from now and 20 years from now and 30 years from now and doing things at this point we don't understand to bring us to this point maybe 20, 30 years from now where we can be the most blessing to somebody else. And maybe it's for nothing else but to have others see the grace of God abiding on us through our trials and suffering, and to provoke them to love and to good works and to go on and not be discouraged, and to take the grace they see on your life and apply it to their suffering. And so let's keep in mind as we go through these hymns, almost every one of them was born in some kind of a tragedy, adversity, family problem, mental problems, emotional problems, like this one with Charlotte Elliott. What a clear, concise hymn. This is probably the most powerful of all the invitation hymns that have ever been written. There's a lot of them. In fact, you can go in the back of your songbook and you'll see a topical index in this blue book, and there's a whole list here of invitation hymns, wonderful ones, without a doubt, cleanse me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have you any room for Jesus? I am praying for you. I surrender all into my heart. Is your all on the altar? Jesus is calling. Jesus paid it all. Jesus, I come. Lord, I'm coming home. Only trust him. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Room at the cross for you. Softly and tender, take my life and let it be. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Why not now? All these invitation hymns are powerful. God has used them, but probably the one that stands head and shoulders above all the rest is written by an invalid lady. She wrote, "Just as I am." We read about the use of this hymn by D.L. Moody and the tremendous evangelistic campaigns that he held all over England and all over America, where hundreds, yea, thousands were brought into the kingdom of God. And he often used this, and he testified that he felt this hymn would bring more people to Christ than all of his sermons. Billy Graham, even though we as fundamentalists have not walked in agreement with many of his methods and some of his doctrine and so on, yet despite our differences, the Lord has used that man to, in some ways, to preach the gospel on many continents and in many places that no one else has had the opportunity. And he has closed all of his services on all the continents with the hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Dr. Jack Hiles, a powerful preacher with a tremendous, fruitful ministry, for almost 50 years as a pastor, closed every one of his Sunday morning sermons with the hymn, "Just as I am." And the chorus would be sung by the choir behind him while souls were saved. They said in 50 years of preaching, he only preached one service where somebody did not come forward to be saved. But in all of those other services for 50 years of Sundays, people walked the aisle and were saved as a result of his preaching. It was always concluded by the hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea." What a powerful, powerful hymn. Now let's look at the hymn. Let's look at the Bible. And with what time we have left, I don't know if you'll be able to look at all of these scriptures or not, but I'll try to read some of them. And I want to just try to alliterate the five verses of "Just as I am" and give us maybe a little bit of understanding of the hymn and the biblical truths that are in. Notice verse number one reflects to me the idea of hope. Verse number one, the idea of hope. Verse one says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." As she writes here, talks about hope. She says, "Just as I am, without one plea." But that thy blood was shed for me. You know, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There will be no boasters in heaven. There will be not one person in heaven who will stand up and say, "Let me tell you how I got here. Let me tell you what I did." No, Charlotte Elliott got it right when she said, "Just as I am, without one plea." I can't give you one plea for myself. I can't stand up and say, "Lord, I went to church all my life," or "Lord, I helped in the Sunday school," or "Lord, I baked cookies for the church bazaar," or "I was baptized." She says, "No, I don't have one single plea. But that thy blood was shed for me." That made me think of another song, a song recorded in the Bible that we're going to sing in heaven someday. We actually have the words recorded of this future hymn. In Revelation 5, verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying about Christ, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see, that's what we're going to sing in heaven when we have perfect understanding. when we no longer see through a glass darkly, when our doctrine is completely sound, we will all sing about the blood in heaven. Out of every kindred, every people, every single nation. I always love that verse as a missions verse because it proves to us the success of missions, that there will be people in heaven redeemed to God by the blood of Christ out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You can take that promise to Kenya. You can take that to any nation on earth, that there will be people in heaven saved out of every single nation anywhere. And we all sing. We're all going to sing the same song. We'll have no other plea without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me. This reminded me of another song, verse 1, that was written by a fellow named Baker. He said, should I at the gates of heaven appear to answer the challenge, what claim hast thou here? What hast thou to offer? Yea, what is thy plea? With blessed assurance, my answer would be, all that I have is Jesus. All that I claim is Jesus. All that I want, all that I need, all that I plead is Jesus. Amen? Another writer tried to put the same thought into words once and wrote these words, a dear lady named Edmonds. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Just as I am. That's hope. Verse 1, that's hope. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Thank God we'll be able to plead the blood at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know if we're going to be asked questions, but if we're challenged, what claim hast thou here? We'll be able to say, I've trusted in the blood of your Son. Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's hope. One claim. And then she goes on and finishes the verse by saying, and that thou bidst me come to thee. And that you bidst me come to thee. This reminded me of Isaiah 55 and verse 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We are not Calvinists. We believe people can seek the Lord. We believe they're commanded by God to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Somebody can find Christ by seeking. Call upon him while he is near. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 1 is hope. And then verse 2 spoke to me of haste. Haste. It says in verse 2 of the song, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, and waiting not. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God never says wait. He never says procrastinate. He never says think about it. In fact, the Lord says so extremely, if your right hand offends thee, cut it off. It'd be better for you to go into heaven with one hand or one foot lame than to go into hell with both hands and both feet. It says, if your right eye offends thee, pluck it out. And he's not promoting bodily mutilation, but he's saying, listen, if there's anything about your flesh that keeps you from coming to Christ right now, cut it off from your life. And oh, how many times you meet people like that. I'll be back later. You hear it at the fair all the time. I'll be back later. And I'm just having a good time right now. And I don't want to give up having a good time. Jesus said, you'd better. He said, it'd be better you pluck your eye out. It'd be better if there's anything about your flesh keeping you from coming to Christ that you should come now. Nobody's sure. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know We need to be saved, and we need to be saved now. It breaks your heart when you're at the fair, and we were out at the Dunkirk fair, and talking with one fella, and I got to that point where I said, wouldn't you like to do that? Isn't that the desire of your heart, to receive Christ as your Savior? And why don't we do that right now? Why don't you trust Christ and call on Him? I'll help you. And he just walked away without any explanation. Under such conviction, a little 15-year-old boy, and boy, it just broke my heart. Just broke my heart. You know, there's a danger when you hear the gospel that Satan might come and steal the seed from your heart. And this verse talks about haste, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. You think of the power of the blood to cleanse each spot. Isn't that great? Doesn't it feel good to be clean? Doesn't it feel good to be clean, cleansed of all your sin, cleansed of all your past, and to know that the Lord will not impute to us our sins in the future? He stops writing when we get saved. It says in Isaiah 44 and verse number 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. In chapter 43, verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. God is so amazing, he can even forget. He can do anything. He can even forget your sins. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Haste, today if you'll hear his voice, waiting not, O Lamb of God, I come. And then verse 3 speaks to me of hurt. It speaks to us of hurt. The hurting should come to Christ. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. We ought to present Christ as the Savior of the hurting. We do not present Christ as an enhancer. We present Him as a Savior. But we do tell people He can enhance your life. We do say to the brokenhearted, Jesus is the answer. We say to those that have been bruised, Jesus is the answer. We say to them that are in blindness, Jesus is the answer. Because He said this is why He came. He said in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and to set at liberty them that are captive, and to give sight to the blind. He is an enhancer. And all these benefits come with salvation, and the hurting should be turned to Christ. I said to many people that I've come across who are battling cancer, or have a family member battling cancer, I've said to them, you know, when my mother was dying, and she died of cancer, through that my dad turned to Christ. And he turned to alcohol first, but then some of God's witnesses got to him and said, George, alcohol is not the answer. Christ is the answer. And as soon as my dad got saved, he felt a heavy burden to get me and my two brothers saved. And he got us to Christ. And that began to heal the hurt of us losing our mother at such a young age. See, he helps the hurting. Jesus helps the hurting. And if you come across people and they say, I've been abused, I've just lost a loved one, I've just lost a job, I've just lost my health. And many times the Lord allows these afflictions to come in to their lives to get their attention. C.S. Lewis once said, pain is God's megaphone to wake up a slumbering world. And there's a lot of times God will allow someone's life to fall apart to get their attention to turn to the Savior who can also enhance our lives. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that hunger. And he said, I'm the bread of life. I'll satisfy your hunger. He says, if you're thirsty, I'll satisfy your thirst. He presented himself as an enhancer. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to say to somebody, you know, if there's a void or an emptiness in your life right now, Christ can fill that. Now, that's not what get them saved. We've got to get them lost in their sins to trust Christ as their Savior. But boy, afterwards, he sure can do a whole lot for them. And we can use those things to bring people to Christ, use their hurts. Somebody just gone through a divorce. You know what I tell them? I say, you know, in the Old Testament, God divorced Israel. She was unfaithful to him, and he knows your hurt. He knows your hurt. You have to give her a bill of divorcement. He knows your hurt, what it's like to lose somebody you love so much. And that thing will reconcile someday, praise God, but he knows. I mean, he is suffering in all points like as we are, like as we have. And you can bring Christ into every conversation as the need to help the hurting. And then in verse 4, I see help. Help from the poverty of the soul to riches, from sickness to health, from blindness to sight. She says, yea, all I need in thee I find. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5 says, he is our efficiency, sufficiency. Verse number 4 says, just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. That's help. Everything I need in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's all the help we need. He is all the sufficiency that we need. Another writer once put it this way of a hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. He is our help. And then last of all, we got to close here. Verse 5 speaks to me of home. Speaks to me of home when it's all over. We get to go to heaven. It says, just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. This reminds me of that story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son who went off and ruined his inheritance and left the father, and he was lost, and his father went and looked for him each and every day. And the son, it says, finally came to his senses and said, I will go back to the Father. I'll rise and go to my Father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be Mary. He's home safe now. He's home safe. And the Lord will receive us. The Lord will receive anybody. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It doesn't matter. He will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Titus 1 and verse 2 talks about in hope of eternal life, which God had promised before the world began. Because thy promise, I promise you eternal life. Whosoever comes to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37, that's one of the greatest promises in all the book. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I love that verse. I love that verse. There isn't a case too hard for God to save. Hope, haste, hurt, help, home. What a wonderful hymn. What a powerful hymn. I know we get used to it. I know we have it memorized. I know we can daydream while we're singing it. But God has used it. And if we sing it in our church a lot, and we do, not all the time, just be patient because somebody might be hearing it for the first time. And what a message, drawing them to come to God just as you are. That's our message. We don't go out to people and say, now you clean yourself up for a while and you know, put you on probation, some kind of righteous or moral probation, to see if you're good enough to approach Christ and ask for salvation. No, we don't do that. We just say, look, we're sinners. We're filthy. We're lost. We're undone. There's none good, none righteous. We've all sinned. Just come to Christ as you are, and I promise you, he'll accept you. He'll receive you. He'll save you once you come to Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for our hymn today. We thank you for our study. We pray now for thy Holy Spirit to work in this service to follow, and Lord, in our efforts this afternoon in the community, passing out the tracts, oh God. Lord, make it clear, as the float says, let not your heart be troubled. Come unto me. Lord, we pray that might touch the heart of dozens, maybe hundreds of people today are hurting. Lord, there's got to be just hundreds, maybe thousands of hurting people that are going to see the float. And the verse on the back, Lord, that beckons people, and you promise that we shall find you if we search for you with all of our heart. Lord, I pray it might set someone off to searching today. And now, Lord, bless this service, and thank you for these hymns. Thank you for using a handicapped woman to write such a powerful hymn, and help those that are in adversity today in this room, in this, maybe not their handicap, but some adversity is in their life. Lord, help them to look for some spiritual growth or reason through that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.